If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the second chapter of the book of Luke. I was privileged to share this passage of scripture a couple of weeks ago with our church in Lewisburg. And so I want to share with you, and I hope it encourages your heart this morning. It's a passage of scripture that doesn't seem to get covered as often during the coming of Christ the first time, the Christmas time. But I want us to look at the life of Simeon in Luke chapter 2. I would like to begin reading for you in verse 25, and we'll go through verse 35 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, again, as it's just been prayed, Lord, we need your help. We need your Spirit to open the word to us, Father. And so we pray that as we look at the life of this man, Simeon, that you will encourage our hearts from your word and help us to cling to the promises that are ours through Jesus Christ. And so we thank you this morning for the privilege of being able to open your word. Bless those that aren't able to be here this morning. Lord, we ask your mercies upon their lives and that you would touch their bodies, raise them up, and help them, Father, to seek Christ with all their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a title for this message this morning is Simeon's Heart and Hope. And I will give you 4 points to anticipate going through this message so that you can, if you want to take notes, that's fine. But we're going to talk about the persons in this passage. We're going to talk about the promise. We're going to talk about the providence and the prophecy. These four points, if you will, these four pegs, you can hang the sermon on. The life of Simeon, we know much about him. All we know is what the scriptures tell us in this particular passage of scripture. But the word Simeon is literally translated as God has heard, or receptivity, or hearing. Simeon comes from the word Shema in the Hebrew, and if you remember the Shema in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And so, "Hear, O Israel," that's the word Shema, that's the word from which we get the name Simeon. And we want to look, first of all, at the person of Simeon. If you look in verse 25, you'll notice there it says there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, I have to confess to you that I preached for years and years and years, and I always assumed that Simeon was a priest. But he's not. The Bible does not say he's a priest. It simply says there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. I just assume because it was right before Anna, and she was serving in the temple, that Simeon served in the temple, but he wasn't. He was just a man. And that kind of gave me hope when I finally realized that. Simeon is just a man, and yet he is righteous, or he is just and devout. And so the word just and devout here describing Simeon don't mean that he was something special, that he was any more holy than anybody else. It simply means that he was justified before God. He was a devout person who pursued God and wanted to believe what the Word of God taught. In fact, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, you'll see there that there were two other people in Jerusalem at that time, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and the Bible says they were both righteous before God. How do we become righteous before God? God imputes his righteousness to us. And as you'll see here, and I'll share with you when we get to point number 4, the Holy Spirit is absolutely involved in all of this. And so Zacharias, Elizabeth, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 that Joseph was a just man, not seeking to put his wife away privately. He took her to himself. And so Simeon is a just and devout man, but he's just a man. And that should give us hope. We are also capable through the Holy Spirit to be able to live just and devout lives before the Lord. And so here's Simeon. The Bible says he's an older man. Basically, he spent his life waiting for the consolation of Israel, which brings me to the second person that we kind of want to talk about this morning. It's not just Simeon, but there is the consolation of Israel. The word consolation simply means comfort. When you are consoled or being consoled, you are being comforted. And so we're talking about the Lord's Christ. It says here that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Bible tells us that consolation came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The child Jesus, verse 27, says, when Mary and Joseph brought the child to do for him according to the law, this is basically Simeon looking upon the child Jesus, and he says in verse 30, Lord, I've seen your salvation. And so we have Simeon, a just and devout man, but we also have the Lord's Christ, the comforter, the consolation, the Messiah. Christ is the word Christos, which means anointed one. And so Christ is the anointed one. He's the Messiah, the one who people are looking for, the nation of Israel is looking for to come as their deliverer. And so Simeon and Christ come together in the temple. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want us to notice, secondly, the promise. There is no anticipation if there's no promise. You tell your kids, hey, this summer, mom and dad are taking you on a wonderful vacation. We're going to Washington, D.C. to read all of the placards about all the history of our nation. And your kids are going, oh, boy. It depends on what age they are. But if you tell them you're taking them to Disney World, all of a sudden, is it today? Are we going today? When are we going? How long? You know, what are we going to do? Anticipation always comes based on a promise. So how did Simeon anticipate the coming? How was he basically waiting for the consolation of Israel? Well, you say, well, the Holy Spirit told him. Well, that's partly true. But that's not all of it. Simeon knew his Bible. All he had was the Old Testament. And yet if you take time to go back and look at the verses in the Old Testament, where would you start? Where would Simeon start? He's reading in Hebrew, Genesis 3:15. There's that one who will bruise his head and bruise his heel. The coming of the one that God promised to Eve, the mother of all living, even in Genesis chapter 3. So all of a sudden, Simeon begins to study the scriptures and he recognizes all of these verses. Now, I won't take time to read all of them to you, but I printed out 5 pages of verses. Let me read a few to you. Again, Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And then there's Genesis 49:10. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Numbers 24, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, or a peace giver, and to him shall the obedience of the people be. And the one we always use at Christmas, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. Isaiah 9:6-7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We could go on, but Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And then take time to read the whole chapter of Isaiah 53. The fact that the nation of Israel today will not even read that chapter. Did you know that? They read the Old Testament, they skip over Isaiah 53 because it's such... And those who talk about it, the rabbis who talk about it, they say, well, that's talking about the nation of Israel. That's not talking about the Messiah who is coming. So read it. It's interesting. But then we have Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And then lastly, Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So just picture Simeon living his whole life, reading the Old Testament, going to synagogue and being taught about the coming of the Messiah. And somewhere down the line, Simeon said, I'm looking forward to him coming. And so his life was spent looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit of God revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now think about it. We want special revelation from God. All these people, you know, if God would just speak to me audibly, if God would just give me some special revelation. God has already given us 66 books of special revelation, and we ignore it. We have probably a dozen Bibles in our homes, and yet what do we do with them? Do we read them? Simeon had one book, the Old Testament, and yet he was constantly in the Word of God looking for the revelation of what God was going to do. And as a result, the Holy Spirit revealed to him, hey, you're a just and devout man. God is going to allow you to see the Lord's Christ before you die. And so that's the promise. That's the whole life of Simeon. He is looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, of this child, the consolation of Israel. Can you just imagine him reading through Genesis and he comes across this passage, says, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then so-and-so begat Enoch. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Just, you know, you can imagine Simeon thinking, oh, wow, God's walking with Enoch, and they're just kind of out for a nice stroll one evening, and they're walking and talking, and they commune together, and then all of a sudden, Enoch said, well, it's getting dark, I need to go home. And God says, well, we're closer to my place than we are yours. Let's just keep going to mine. And off they go. So Simeon is thinking in terms of this one, the God, the Lord Christ is coming. I want to see him. I look forward. I am looking for his coming. So the promise is there. Do you have the promises of God in your heart? Do you anticipate his coming? Do you anticipate the truth of what he's revealed? Because Simeon ultimately says, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all the people. And so we have the person, Simeon. We have the other person, Christ. Now we have the promise from the Old Testament. But now look at providence. Verse 27. And says, and so he came by the Spirit into the temple. As he's always done, he's going to the temple to pray. He's going to the temple to worship. But he comes in this one day, and he came by the Spirit, and all of a sudden, in providence, there's Mary and Joseph with this baby. Now, I know a lot of people put halos on their Christmas, you know, Christ child in the manger. There was no halo. There was nothing about this child that revealed to Simeon that he was the Christ child. How do you suppose Simeon found out that he was the Christ child? Well, between verse 27 and verse 28 of Luke chapter 2, Luke leaves out a lot. He leaves us to speculate. But I think we have the right to scripturally speculate as to how Simeon might have known this was the Christ child, or would have known that the Christ child was near to be born. Let's start back in chapter 1 of Luke. Remember the story of Zacharias. He's in the temple and the angel appears to him, and what happens? He says, you and your wife, elderly couple, are going to have a son. And Zacharias says, yeah, right, look, we're old. Well, Zacharias did have a son, but what happened to Zacharias? He was a priest who ministered in the temple. All of a sudden, he can't talk. Well, do you think if somebody in this church all of a sudden couldn't speak, that the rest of you would wonder what happened? Well, when John the Baptist was born, his tongue was loosed, and look at the praise that he gives beginning in chapter 1, verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying what? Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he's visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Do you think that possibly Zechariah or Simeon might have gotten a hold through scuttlebutt that this happened in the temple, that Zacharias, and going back to the Old Testament where he studied often, he would have read in the book of Isaiah that there was one prophet, there was one, a forerunner who would come to prepare the way of the Lord. Simeon knew his Bible. And now in Providence, he hears, oh, this is happening at the temple. This is exciting. But then there's another one. Back in chapter 2. Let's read with me now in chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And you know the story of how the angel revealed to these shepherds, and they said, let us go even now unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. So what did they do? They came, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. But then I want you to notice this verse. After they had done that, verse 17, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And everybody who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know how fast gossip travels? Faster than the speed of lightning. It goes everywhere. Can you imagine Simeon hearing in Jerusalem of this baby being born in Bethlehem and these shepherds telling about this marvelous thing that the angel has told them? So I don't think Simeon was totally in the dark. I think Simeon had some inkling that this child, this consolation of Israel, was now in the world. And so his anticipation grows. Well, I'm going to add a little bit of speculation. Luke doesn't tell us, but when Joseph and Mary brought the child into the temple to do for him according to the law, that's what the Bible says, according to the custom of the law in verse 27. Do you think Simeon just walked over and took the baby out of his mother's arms cold turkey? I doubt it. I'd say there was some conversation going on. I would say Simeon was very interested in what Joseph and Mary had to say about this child and how the angel came to both Mary and Joseph and told them that that which is born in you is the Son of God. And you'll call his name Emmanuel. And you'll call his name Jesus. So there's probably some conversation going on between Joseph and Mary and Simeon. Luke doesn't choose to expound on that. But in Providence, and this is a beautiful thing, God always brings to pass what he purposes. He purposed for Jesus Christ to come into the world. He purposed for him to come in at the very time that Simeon was in the temple, and Simeon got to see that which the Holy Spirit had promised to him so many days or years or months before. So we have the persons, we have the promise, we have the providence of God bringing them together. And now I want us to look at the prophecy. This is, again, that which the Holy Spirit had said to Simeon, that you will not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. We don't know how old Simeon was. We just know that he was an older man, that he had been many years looking for the consolation of Israel. But here's the interesting thing I want you to note. In the person, in the promise, in the providence, and in the prophecy, there's one thread that goes through all of them. What is that? The Holy Spirit. You go back to the persons, you'll see that Simeon was a just and devout man, and the Bible says in verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit was teaching him. And verse 27, the Holy Spirit was leading him. So the Holy Spirit is sort of the fluid that goes through all four of these things, all the way from the persons in delivering the child into Mary's womb, to bringing him to birth, and then bringing him to the temple. The Holy Spirit in the promise tells Simeon, you will not die until you see the Lord's Christ. So there he is telling him what is going to happen. And then in providence, the Holy Spirit brings him. He came into the temple by the Spirit. So you see, the Holy Spirit, if you will, I had a mechanic when we lived in Lookout, pastored for 29 years. There was a man there whom the Lord just touched his heart, and he did most of my mechanic and for free. But he'd say, and he was sort of a roughneck, if you will. He'd say, "Preacher, the life of the car is the grease, and the life of the motor is the oil. If you will change the oil in your car regularly, it will not break down. It will last you a long time." Well, let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is the oil of the person, the promise, the providence, and prophecy. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit brings to pass that which God has promised. In time, it all meshes together in providence. And we know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those that love God. That is the Holy Spirit bringing to pass, bringing prophecy and providence together to fulfill the prophecy which God has made. So the Holy Spirit, his overarching goal is to bring us to Christ, to point people to Christ. You'll notice the Holy Spirit never gets out on his own and does his own thing. He's always pointing us to Christ. In fact, Christ said, told his disciples, "When I leave to go away, what will I do? I will send you the," help me out here, what will he send? "The Comforter." And what's he going to do? He's going to bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you. And so the Holy Spirit is not going to speak of himself, but he's going to speak of everything that Christ is and Christ does. And so the Holy Spirit brings the consolation of Israel to life in providence. And now prophecy meets providence. And Simeon takes him up in his arms, and he blesses God and says, now here's an interesting thing, in case people want to tell you the Holy Spirit's not the third person of the Trinity. Who told Simeon that he would not die until he would see the Lord's Christ? Who told him that? The Holy Spirit. But here, Simeon blesses God and says, "Now let me depart, because I have seen the promise that you made to me." So the Holy Spirit made the promise, but Simeon praises God and says, "You made this promise." The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. I just threw that in for extra. You don't have to worry about that. The Holy Spirit is God. He says, "According to your word, what you told me, I believe. And as a result of my believing it, it has now come to pass. You have prepared," verse 31, "you have prepared." God doesn't do things off the cuff. God prepared this child to be the Savior of the world, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory to the people of Israel. Remember in the Old Testament, because of the sin of the nation of Israel, ultimately the Shekinah glory did what? It left the temple. And the Shekinah glory, even after the Babylonian captivity and the children of Israel coming back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls, no Shekinah glory. The Spirit of God never came back to the temple until the person of this child, Jesus Christ. Simeon says, "Now let your servant depart in peace, because you have prepared this consolation. You've prepared this child as a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory," or Shekinah glory, "to thy people Israel." Let me read a verse for you in Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, once more," it's a little while, "I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. The prophecies that Simeon has read in the Old Testament are beginning to be fulfilled. Now, I just want you to know, Simeon wasn't the only one that was looking for the consolation in Israel. If you look down with me to the latter end of chapter 2, where Anna bears witness, she, the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, in verse 36, it says in verse 38, and coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him, Christ, the child, spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So there were a lot of people in Israel at that time, in Jerusalem specifically, looking for the redemption in Israel. So that tells me that Simeon is not only a devout Bible reader, he is not only a devout looker to the coming of the consolation, but he's talked to a lot of people. There's a lot of people in Jerusalem who are looking for the coming of the Messiah. He blessed Mary. It's interesting to note, I don't know if you noticed before, Joseph and Mary are both there, but he says certain things to Mary. He says nothing to Joseph. Why? Because Joseph is not going to be around by the time their son grows up to die on the cross. But he says to Mary, there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce your soul because of what this child is going to go through. You've prepared it before the face of all peoples. Even Simeon knows from the Old Testament that Jesus is going to die for more than just Israel. He's going to die for all nations. He's going to allow the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. And that's why he's told his disciples at the end of Matthew, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So even Simeon knew from the understanding of the Old Testament the purpose for which this Christ child was coming. He's going to reveal the light to the Gentiles. He's going to be the glory of his people Israel. He's going to suffer and die. Now, it also says in his prophecy, and for a sign which will be spoken against. All you have to do is go back and read the Gospels and you'll see what was said against this Christ child. When he grew up and he began his public ministry, they went from everywhere to calling him the devil himself. We know this is the son of Joseph. What's he doing claiming to be the son of God? We need to kill him. And ultimately, with the premeditation, they took with wicked hands and crucified him. So Simeon says to Mary, this is going to hurt, but he's the salvation of Israel. Now let me conclude pointing a couple things out to you. If you're not in Christ today, he's your only hope. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except through Jesus Christ. So if you're a sinner here today and you haven't trusted Christ, he's your only hope. And if he's not your hope, you have no hope. Saint, if you're trusting Christ today, he's our only hope. We need to rest in him. He is our comfort. He is the one Simeon was looking for. He's the one Anna was looking for. He's the one that shepherds rejoiced over. He is the Christ child who came to give his life for us. Now here's the thing. To us who are in Christ, the question is, are you looking to his second coming with any inkling of the desire that Simeon was looking for his first coming? You ever thought about it? Simeon spent his life looking for the coming of the consolation of Israel. Jesus told his disciples on the mount before he went up and was caught up into heaven, he said, this same Jesus, or the angel said, this same Jesus who you see going up is coming in like manner. You looking for the consolation of Israel? You looking for the man, Jesus, to come back as he said he would? What are you looking for? Well, right now, I really am looking forward to getting married and having children, or I'm looking forward to getting a job and making a lot of money. I'm looking forward to. God never promised us any of those things. But he did promise us a Redeemer. And he came. He gave his life for us. What are you looking for? Are you looking for the consolation of Israel? Let me just read a verse and then we'll close. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I know there are things, we all look forward to things, we all have promises we make to ourselves, we want this to happen and that to happen, but really our goal should be looking for the coming, the blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't know how often you observe the Lord's table here, but even then, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Even in the Lord's Supper, when we remember his death, we are remembering his death, only looking forward to his coming. He will come and receive us unto himself, that where we are, or that where he is, we may be there also. And so think of Simeon, ordinary man, believe the word of God, looking forward to the coming of the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit led him through all of this to the culmination of seeing the Lord's Christ. And his end prayer was, Lord, let your servant now depart in peace, because I've seen your salvation. Think about it. If you aren't a child of God today, you should never pray that prayer. You never say, Lord, I need to die. You never want to say, I need to die, without first knowing the salvation of the Lord. Because to die without him is to die without any hope whatsoever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Look forward to him. Believe what he did in the past for you. And look forward to his coming again, even as Simeon did. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice that your word is forever settled in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that as we go through the circumstances of our lives here, until you call us home, that we would be faithful in looking into your word, to know your will, and to have the hope that Simeon had. Not just of his first coming, but of his second coming. And Father, we look forward to your coming, and we pray, even as John prayed, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray this in his holy name. Amen.